Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. And when the darkness closes in, yeah, still I will say, well, blessed be the name of Yahweh. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of Yahweh. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name when the sun is shining down on me, when the world is all as it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering, though the pain in the offering. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, yeah, still I will say, well, blessed be the name of Yahweh. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of Yahweh. Blessed be your glorious name. Give and take away. Give and take away. My heart will choose to say, yeah, blessed be your name. In every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, yeah, still I will say, well, blessed be the name of Yahweh. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of Yahweh. Blessed be your glorious name. Well, blessed be the name of Yahweh. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of Yahweh. Blessed be your glorious name. You give and take away. You give and take away. My heart will choose to say, yeah, blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of Yahweh. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of Yahweh. Blessed be your glorious name. Well, blessed be the name of Yahweh. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of Yahweh. Well, blessed be your glorious name.
Well, praise Yahweh, everybody, Pastor Buddy, and we are joining you live right now on WRB 3.185 Clear Channel, and we're glad to have you in here on part two of the wholeness of the circle. Now, last night we discussed why that we build altars, the old-fashioned kind. Now, if you can look at Scripture and go to the Almighty who identifies himself to John the Revelator by saying, I am Alpha and Omega, beginning and end, saith Yahweh. Well, if you would compare that to a circle, you know that there's no beginning or ending in a circle. But this is a good example of the claim that lies beneath the words than just looking at the surface atop them. True, Alpha is the Greek word Alpha, Strong's number one, meaning the first letter of the Greek alphabet. Omega is the Greek word Omega, Strong's number 5598, meaning the last letter of the Greek alphabet. But if you put it under the light of Revelation and look into the meaning of the words, it blossoms out to a revelation that I want you to see here. When Alpha linked to Strong's 427 and 260 root, boil down to the beginning, Alpha, carries with it the meaning of union. Now, that's where the ring comes in. The ring's always a circle. It's a union, a joining. Union with ending, which is Omega. So, this would dissolve an apparent scriptural contradiction. Yahweh says here that he is beginning and ending. But elsewhere, he says he is without beginning and without end. Now, which one is it? When beginning is in union with ending, what have we got? We got a circle. Each of the infinite points of a circle is its beginning and its end. Oh, man. Yet the entirety of the circle has no beginning and no end. To put it crudely, one could say that Yahweh in character is a circle. And that's pretty neat. Now, let me give you another example of the hidden truth that the prophet Isaiah said, he, Yahweh, sitteth upon the circle of the earth, Isaiah 40:22, that we gave you last night as a gestalt. The word circle in this scripture is a rather surprising choice. The circle of the earth. Why? Because the earth is not a circle, it's a sphere. The earth is three-dimensional. A circle is two-dimensional. This might seem like a trivial discrepancy, but the diligent seeker uses tweezers and not a shovel. Did Isaiah, did he not know the difference between a sphere and a circle? Well, of course he did. And that circle that he put there, the word, was no mistake. If you look back three words in this verse, to sitteth, he that sitteth, this is the Hebrew word yashah, Strong's number 3427. It has two very different meanings, to sit down in judgment and in ambush, and to settle, different meanings. This word, 3427, is to settle, to ease oneself. Now, if you look at the next phrase in the passage, he that setteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants of the earth are as grasshoppers. Now, if you need to don your thinking cap here, well, let's do it. The Almighty created and owns planet Earth. But I don't believe he's sitting, is picturing the Earth as a throne. For now, Satan is the god of this world, not a worthy throne for his majesty. The inhabitants of the Earth are mentioned, although they are referred to as grasshoppers and reputed as nothing, as flesh beings. A handful of them are also spirit beings. So we have a few stalks of wheat and a planet of tares. Now, think about this. For the tares, the devil's crop, or his people, Yahweh's sitting is in ambush to judge them worthy of binding and being cast into the fire. But for the wheat, that would be his own crop, he's sitting as to settle himself to let his children approach him in worship and in communion. And where is this done? Always inside the circle altar. Now here's another biblical glimpse to underpin our claim that Yahweh's ordained altar is circular. In the first book of Kings, we find the account of the prophet Elijah as he shows Israel the mighty power of Yahweh in a showdown on Mount Carmel with the prophets of Baal. we find Elijah repairing the altar of Yahweh, which had been ruined by the evil king and abandoned, and the enticement was to remove Israel from the circle altar to the altar of Baal. But once Eliah, once he repaired the altar, the Bible said he made a trench about the altar, and the water ran about the altar, and he filled the trench with water. 1 Kings 18:35. Notice the word about and the words roundabout. In both cases, it is the Hebrew word kabra, Strong's number 5439, from the root word 5437. It means to circuit and to compass around. The altar which Elijah repaired was a circular altar aligned true north. Our final support for the shape of Yahweh's acceptable altar, being a circle, is in the book of Joshua. We learn that the Israelites built an altar upon entering the promised land, and they understood that this was the first order of business that had to be attended to by the direct order of Yahweh. The place where they built the sacred altar was called Gilgal. This is Strong's number, 1537, for Gilgal. It's taken from the Chaldee word, Galgal, the Strong's number 5434, and it means a wheel. Literally, or by an analogy, a rolling thing, or a circle. Anything that takes the form of a circle. There is no more evidence than these two needed to prove that the truth portrayed in this name. But here it certainly adds credence to the circle altar claim that I'm presenting here, that the altar was always a circle built with 12 stones to identify the 12 tribes, and in the center where the house of Levi was in the, it was a rectangular box, and the size of the ark was 27 by 45. Reducing these now in 27, 9, and 40 and 5 is 9. So the 9, the characteristic of 9 is exposed here. 9 is the resurrection number, or the judgment number. The biblical glimpse of Yahweh standing up in man's law court as proof. But they stand up as the sacred name Yahweh rules in the center of the circle where Melchizedek, priest, spirit-filled, now offer up acceptable sacrifices on the days that he commanded us to meet with him, on the new moon and on the Sabbath. Now, let me offer this for you, your consideration regarding the circle as being acceptable honor to Yahweh. Now, if we look at the biblical explanation of the foundation laid, you see that the entirety of churchianity is in rebellion, for this falls outside of Bible truth, and that's putting it mildly. In fact, it doesn't, but this is an impossible leap from the traditional mind, so here I'm going to present it as the laying of the foundation. Now, bear in mind that Satan, although he's the god of this world in 2 Corinthians 4:4, for now, he is not a creator. He's an imposter. He is an imitator. And he has stolen the great truth of the Bible, Yahweh's ways, and turned them into a fearful, superstitious, pagan-sounding thing. When people go to an altar, it's taboo. But when they go to the altar in the churchianity, the square altars, there they worship and they shout, just like they were doing when they worshiped Baal and the golden calf, just like that Aaron, when he built them a golden calf, they shouted, but it wasn't a shout of a king. Now, when I say the word zodiac, I'll bet you think, oh, that's witchcraft. Horoscope, occult, voodoo, devil worship. Don't touch it. Why does 100% of traditionalism react that when you tell them that the altar is in a Maseroth or a circle or a zodiac with the underlying infusion of truth that leads you to freedom and liberty outside of the bell boxes, which is nothing but binding through satanic seduction the people that go in to these bell boxes, and they shout and they get real emotional. But when they come on Yahweh's altar, if they were to, and most of them won't, because they say it's devil worship. They say it's witchcraft. We've been inoculated against Yahweh's altars and have chosen the altars of Baal in place of the word zodiac, which is the Greek translation of the Hebrew word Maseroth. In English, which is Strong's number 4216. Now, what does the word Maseroth, does it mean anything to you? Well, if it doesn't, it means a lot to Yahweh. Let's read. The word Maseroth is in the Bible. And when you look at its meaning of Strong's number 4216, you can see right away that Yahweh is trying to tell Job of the wondrous order of the earth in its creation and how to approach the Creator and to worship Him in spirit and truth. Here he says to Job, can you bind the sweet influences of the Pleiades or loose the bands of Orion? Now, if I was to talk about the signs in Pleiades or the bands of Orion, you in your Christianity, churchianity, frame of mind would think that I'm in witchcraft. Here's Yahweh questioning Job. He said, can you guide Arcturus with his sons? Knowest thou the ordinances of heaven? Can you set the dominion thereof in the earth? Now, here we find the Almighty Yahweh speaking to Job and reminding him of his insignificance. He's basically saying, who do you think you are, Job? The point is that one of the things he asked Job is, can you do this? And the question was, can you bring forth the Maseroth? It was Yahweh that created the Maseroth. It was Yahweh, as a great artist, that painted the Muriel in the heavens, decorated it with animals and signs for seasons, which is according to the book of Revelations, or in the book of Genesis, chapter 1, verse 14, that this is what it's for. And that the seasons and the procession of the constellations in the heavens is not evil. Yahweh, his hand did all that. He stretched forth the heavens alone and by himself. Is it because Satan is planting the seed of traditional horror in your mind, because the Bible said it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Or in other words, fall into the creational process. As here he is chiding Job, trying to promote him to look at these vital things of importance with the messages and the things that are written in the stars. And are you smart enough to share it with his offspring? It's also smart enough to make it appear as witchcraft to the children of the Almighty, that they would flee from it in fear. Will they ever tap into the spiritual revelation of truth? It's doubtful. And the reason that it's doubtful is because they won't return to the circle. They will go to a mailbox altar. They will kneel and pray and cry. They will shout. They will pretend that they're having a great time. In the carnal mind, they are, but the Bible said to be carnal-minded is death. When you shake free the bonds of stupidity and traditionalism, you can see that it's a simple stack of building blocks. Block number one would relate that Yahweh created all the things that exist. Block two, everything Yahweh created is good. And it is revealing. Block number three, Satan created nothing. Block number four, everything Satan uses and shares with his offspring, he stole from Yahweh and perverted it. Block number five, Satan is smarter than you can ever imagine. Block number six, if Satan uses something Yahweh created, it must be important. Block number seven, we should not run from what Satan teaches his offspring. We should examine it closely to see what he sees. And with this now planted in our mind, we lay the foundation for what we're trying to get you to do is to return to the circle. Further evidence supporting the circular shape of the altar of Yahweh. Now remember I told you that Israel was hard to convince. Well, it's taken a full page of foundation laying to support a couple of sentences that I have just given you here. Both historical and archaeological evidence proves that the ancients from every civilization in every part of the world have entered and worshipped on circles laid out on the ground for worship and sacrifice. Now, I know that all who have been traditionally mind-shaped will cry out that this is all evil. But let me tell you about the great mysteries of Yahweh. Just as our patriarchs knew and were taught and trained by Yahweh to lay the basic foundation of the building blocks of our fault, that we should look carefully at why they used the circle. But if they were all devil worshippers, we should be equally observant, because they were shown by their God he stole from the Creator and knows well the power it holds, while the good guys and the bad guys ride the same breed of horse into battle. You better get yourself one of those horses, and you better saddle up and ride into the revelation of the Creator, who has hid it from the wise and prudent and revealed it to the babes and sucklings. Now, if you want to still reject the importance of an altar to worship on when you call on the Almighty, you see, when you stand on a circle with 12 stones and the names of the 12 tribes of Israel, with the 12 apostles' names embedded in the foundation gates, where we walk into the holy city of Revelation 21. here upon the earth we have the 12 matching gates. And he said, see, this is the pattern that is in heaven. See that you do it according to the pattern. And Moses had the pattern. Abraham had the pattern. Isaac had the pattern. Jacob had the pattern. And don't you think that Satan didn't know the pattern? That he could turn Yahweh's altar into a perverted worship of Baal? Now listen to this now. Give not that which is holy to the dogs. Neither cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. The holy things and the pearls are the great mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. They hold great power. But if you never use or connect this power, then Satan has dumbed you down, given you a frightful, superstitious mind, carnal, and got you eaten with the dogs and the pigs and the swine and the evil and everything unclean, although it seems so good and it seems so wonderful when we see these church houses filled to the brim, shouting with great orchestras. Now we got rock and roll bands called Christian rock bands, and they bellow out just like it's your rock concert. They have the laser lights, they have the whole deal, they have the giant stadiums, and they fill these with people who actually believe that this leaping for joy is going to somehow make them acceptable in the kingdom of heaven. But now, what does the Bible say? Yahweh is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Why did Yahweh teach all of his men to build circle altars and put 12 stones and write the name of the 12 tribes of Israel and lay them in perfect 30-degree shapes and times 12, and 3 times 12 is 360, which forms a perfect circle of Alpha and Tau, or beginning and end, which I just gave you the word demonstration, to tie those two together in union without beginning and without end. A ring has no beginning and end. Just like Yahweh, although he is Alpha, the beginning, and the end. Because there is a beginning to this knowledge, and there's an end to it. There's a beginning of those things which are right, and there's an end to those things which are wrong. Choose this day. Notice he said, cast not your pearls before the swine. Now, let's say that Yahweh went down to the temple, which took 42 years to build. But when you see him going to worship, he goes into a mountain apart. Why did he do that? What mountain did he go to? Do you know? Do you know what was on that mountain? We know, according to the 5th chapter of the book of Joshua, the book called in English Joshua, that there was an altar built there by the ancient Israelites at Gilgal, and it's there unto this day. So we're not in the dark. Ancient traditions, even to the ancient children of Israel, when they first entered the promised land, the first order of business was to build an altar, which is pronounced Mitzvah. Strong's number 4196. It means altar in English, but derives from the Hebrew word zabak, pronounced zabak. Strong's number 2076, meaning to worship or to offer a sacrifice, and so should we be sacrificing animals? Well, we all do that. The only difference is, now we don't do it to Yahweh. We go out to the restaurants where they have sacrificed animals. They fill their freezers up with meat. They have the butcher down the street, what we'd call a Levite, which is kosher, killed all of the animals that Yahweh wanted us to eat. You see, when people think of sacrifice, they think about gathering up animals and sacrificing an animal and burning it in the presence of Yahweh, and somehow Yahweh would be pleased. That's not what they done. What they sacrificed, they ate within 3 days, according to the 12th chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. Now, a place of the new covenant is to acknowledge the blood that was righteously shed by Yahweh himself as he died to replace the animal blood that was used to sprinkle the altar and the holy place. We don't no longer use that. Now, as Melchizedek priests, we enter the altar not to slay an animal or to sacrifice an animal, but to slay our heart, to let the sword of the truth pierce our being and open up our heart. He said, I'll take out that stony heart of the law covenant and give you a heart of flesh and tenderness in the living Melchizedek covenant, which is the new covenant, where I will be merciful to your sins and your unrighteousness, and those sins I will remember no more. Every year they had to go to the altar and they had to bring the blood of a goat, and it had to be sprinkled upon the Ark of the Covenant. Now we have a covenant not in the Ark, but in us. And when we come to the sacred altar, which is acceptable to our Father, not made by the skill of human craftsmen, from carved wood or a polished marble or beaten gold and silver. That's how Baal, Lord Baal, would want you to come to his altars. That's the way he built them. Style. Showmanship. To get ahead of the next church downtown. An altar of earth thou shalt make unto me. Exodus chapter 20, verse 24. The word earth here is a most interesting word. Notice, it's the word al-dama. Strong's number 127. It means soil, the dirt of the ground. But it comes from the root word adam, meaning Strong's number 119. This is the word used in the book of Genesis when Yahweh formed Adam from the dirt or the dust of the earth. It literally means to show blood in the face. Now you, in your conscience, standing up on the altar, confessing your sins and your wrongs, blush in the face, meaning that you have offered a blood sacrifice to Yahweh out of the conviction and out of the love and the grace of your own heart, which is what Yahweh desired all along. Now, Yahweh's flesh body was formed from the dust of the earth, just like Adam. When Yahweh came, he was born of a woman. And he died as a man. But he rose as God. Never to be killed anymore. Never to be sacrificed anymore. Never to be evilly entreated anymore. Once he suffered. Now, take it from me. You know that your instincts, where you place your bodies in a sacred circle, you have the direct magnetism of turning north, where your soul, as an electric body, placed with the 12 diamond stones, if you will, and they may not be anything more than sandstones or river rock. That's what Yahweh wanted you to use. but through the vibrations of those that enter the holy circle. They bring with them the electric magnetism of their own conscience and soul flushed through the blood of the face. This creates some type of a substance that is drawn through the magnetism of the north, where Yahweh sits on the circle. Not in wrath toward the children, but in blessedness, as he said, I will meet you there at the appointed times where you come to worship me, and I will receive your worship. Isn't it wonderful, ladies and gentlemen? You come up on the altar that was built just for you, designed just for you. Should you teach your children to build an old-fashioned dirt altar or an earth altar? Or should you take them down to the local bell box where they've got platform altars, just like Baal had in 1 Kings 18 when Elijah, when he went and scratched and cleaned off the dirt and the undergrowth of the abandoned altar up on the mountain of Mount Carmel. There it had fell into ruins. It had been abandoned. It had been neglected. And when an obedient people who humbles themselves and prays and seeks his face and wants to return back to the old path, this is the first order of business that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, David, you can go on and on and on and name these men who stood on circle altars built and designed by Yahweh himself to match the altars and the temple in heaven, where in the outer court there was an altar reserved for his people. Now, a willing and obedient people who have come together in a spiritual setting to step into the sacred circle where the Spirit of Yahweh is, there is liberty, according to 2 Corinthians 3:17, and there is a magnetism and a power. It's so awesome that I dare not to go into the liberty that we have on these altars to tell you out there, because there's uncircumcised ears and uncircumcised eyes that are looking and listening just to catch me in my speech so they can find fault and go back to their Baal altars and shout and praise and dishonor Yahweh's ways as something out of the horror movies of the Zodiacs and the Maseroths, especially when you call it a circle. They don't want to have that. Now, if you have a suitable outdoor site, you should consider offering up a sacred offering where Yahweh would accept these. Now let me show you what he said in Leviticus chapter 2, verse 13. With all thine offerings thou shalt offer salt. Upon these circle altars there is a salt present. Salt preserves, it purifies, and it is an electric conductor. Salt the ground before you erect your altar to Yahweh. This is the sanctification power that Yahweh demanded his children when they went in to an enemy territory. And the earth is cursed, ladies and gentlemen. That's the enemy's territory. That's Satan, who operates from the earth as the earth base. When he's polluted everything in the earth through lust and the 17 works of the flesh, and the way to purify you a spot anywhere you're at is to take salt and oil and burn it with fire. covenant with fire. That's sanctification. The fire cleanses the site and re-energizes it, and the salt preserves it and becomes a conductor for all the electromagnetism that you bring to the altar. Now, the earth itself is a living entity. And when you bury 12 stones in a circle, I cannot, in three-dimensional descriptions of words, tell you how powerful that sight becomes when it draws energy from all of the conducting points in the earth. And since there is so few of sanctified sites, remember, in the ancient days, there were places where there were the special points of energy spot where people went to get healed. As I said, Yahweh himself, he went to the wilderness and he worshiped. He set himself apart. Do you believe that he taught Noah, Abraham, Isaac, David, Moses, Aaron, the Levites, all of the people that I could mention, too numerous, of course, that he taught them how to build an altar that would satisfy him? Do you think that he spent his life down here 33 years and never stepped into an altar that he designed and built and recommended his people to do that? Do you think that he would come and get into a bell box temple that took 42 years to build it? The only thing he done was take a cord and flip them out, because there was nothing but money changers and a great profitable religious system that was flourishing even in his days. And when he worshipped, he went to the wilderness. He returned back to nature. He went back to the altar of earth. Properly laid out in the way that I have described it, it expresses the very nature of your heart, your lips, and in your prayers of dedication to the Creator, when you ask him to bless it and to protect it. Once the altar is complete, the final elements of dedication will then be done. And this will be explained to you as we go into part three Monday night, when I get into part three of the erection of an altar, the old-fashioned way. Now, most people are terrified. Nine is three threes. Remember I told you that in the center of the circle, we have a box of 27 by 45 rectangular box with four stones in each corner of that rectangular box with a yod-heh-vah-heh. Once you step upon those stones, you stand on the foundational name of the creation by the Creator into a perfect circle that is energized and pointed toward true north, where Yahweh sits upon the circle of the earth to receive your offerings and your blessings and your praise. Now, we know that the number 39-6 is a sacred geometry and is a sacred number in astrology. The astrology is the reading of the signs of the heavens. You say, oh, that's witchcraft. I know that's wrong, because our preacher told us that. I want to ask you a question. Who was it that found the Messiah that the stars had already recorded, and they had read the stars and seen his sign, and that there would be a king, a divine covenant king, born in a particular area at a particular time? Only the wise men who read the signs of the stars were able to find him. The Bible identifies them as wise men, but you're told that this is witchcraft and evil, that you shouldn't do that. Now, how to build the altar. Now, part three will be exclusively on how to build this altar. And I won't divulge all of the secrets of the altar, because some of these are sacred only to people who would want to participate or learn how to build an altar. come, or they would have to invite some of our men and some of our sisters that paint the stones, the names of the 12 tribes upon them, how to place them and how to locate them, and how to develop a place that is energized to offer up acceptable sacrifices at the time of the meetings. It's very simple. And yet it's so complex and so foreign and so strange to the uncircumcised ear, they can't grasp it. They run. We've noted occasions where men would come up on our altars and look at it and then flee in horror, thinking that some ghost was going to jump out and bite them or some devil was going to enter into them. And yet they'll go where these altars, who have been designed by devils, and fall upon them and thinking that they're doing God a service, and they'll worship and roll on these altars of Baal. No scripture to build these, but they build them anyway. No scripture for them to worship on them, but they worship on them anyway. And certainly no scripture for them to do it, but they do it anyway. But when you read it out of the Bible and do it according to the pattern, this pattern is so strange to the circumcised or the uncircumcised heart and minds and souls and ears and eyes that they run. They literally are afraid. And the Bible said again, it is a fearful thing. Yahweh knowing the nature and how Satan has cast a spell over the eyes and the ears of the uncircumcised to fear the entrance of, because Yahweh's people are bold. You know, it's hard for me, without proper training, it's hard to witness to somebody that don't believe without scaring them to death. Most of our witnesses are so strong, and they don't realize this, and so powerful in their belief systems that when they get around one of these little unlearned, ignorant, superstitious, fearful people, that they just literally blow them out of the water, not even meaning to. That's how fickle that Christianity has become. They're not searchers of the word. They are worshipers of tradition. If it's not something they can see, touch, hear, feel, or smell with Christianity, then they don't want a part of it. If it's not something that they've done for the last 500 years, they don't want a part of it. If it's something mom and dad ain't done, they don't want a part of it. But when you read it out of the Bible on how to develop and build an altar, just like the wisdom of Abel, just like the wisdom of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and all the learned patriarchs of the past, including up to this present time, when men have entered this sacred circle so powerful, you just don't really know how powerful it is, with the one that sits upon the circle of the earth in Isaiah 40, verse 22, when he's collecting in the mind the thought process of developing you into a legitimate, now the Bible says you're not crowned unless you strive lawfully, how can you worship him in spirit and truth if you don't have any truth? If all that you've got is tradition and the way mama worshiped, the way daddy worshiped, I don't care if it goes back 100 years or 10,000 years, if it's paganism, and tradition, although it's become very popular, and today it seems right. And as I opened up the first part of our message here on the circle of holiness, there is a way that seemeth right, but the end thereof is the way of death. See and ask for the old path. And when you find it, walk in, and you will immediately find rest for your soul. So, Monday night, we're going to bring a picture of the altar into your mind through the radio. We're going to give you dimensional structure. We're going to bring the building blocks of the altar, how to build it, how to lay it out, how to design it, and how to worship on it, and how to present yourself a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. All the heave offerings of the holy things which the sons of Israel shall lift up to Yahweh, I have given you, and to your sons and to your daughters with you, a never-ending statue, a covenant of salt. It shall be forever before Yahweh to you and to your seed with you. Numbers 18, verse 19, a covenant of salt. Have you ever been on an altar in a covenant of salt? If salt has lost its saltness, then it's fit for nothing to be cast out. They have tore down Yahweh's altar just like it was in the days of Elijah. He repaired it, and I can prove it, that he took 12 stones and placed them back properly in sequence. And we know the sequence. We know where every one of them goes. We know why they're to be placed there. We know every stone has a revelation, and we know every stone has a purpose. And everyone is tied basically back to the Father and back to the throne of He that sits upon the circle, waiting for the sons of Yahweh to manifest in glory. And I pray that you will find your way in your heart to see the truth and the validity of building an old-fashioned circle altar. If you need my help, I'm here to help you. I offer this to you tonight in the name of Yahweh, which is a strong tower, which the righteous would run into it. And it's amazing how the Creator has provided us with such abundance of simple, common, overlooked things that it becomes so powerful, yet so neglected by the tradition of those who seek the tradition of the world. They'd rather be on a Christmas altar. They'd rather be on an Easter altar of a squared platform down in front of a church, styling and profiling, calling on a false name, than to go back to the old-fashioned way, doing the old-fashioned things that our fathers did. Ladies and gentlemen, the truth is forever settled. You are the salt of the earth, Matthew 5:13. Isn't that amazing? The Creator called His children salts, children into covenant of salt. And yet, if you've never walked onto an old-fashioned altar that's been salted with the 12 stones and the 12 tribes right out of the Bible, not out of some witchcraft doctrine. The witchcraft doctrine is over on First Street with a steeple and a cross. Underneath it is a veiled platform where your prophets of Baal, who have seen right and presented themselves as the children of right, and an old-fashioned preacher out in the wilderness preaching the altar worship, he would seem like he was strange and erratic and ready for the straitjacket. But straight is the way and narrow is the gate. And of you that are to find it. Well, Yahweh bless you. My time has come and gone. I've enjoyed being with you tonight. You can call me at area code 423-626-2172. Now, that's area code 423-626-2172. If you'd like to write me for information concerning the old-fashioned altar, if you'd like some CDs on the teaching, we have many, many hours of presentation. You can go to our website tonight. Bob has it up to date. Our webmaster in Arkansas, Brother Bob. Our scribe, Brother Barry, which I'm reading from the document of Returning to the Circle that has been put there for your understanding on how to worship Yahweh in spirit and truth. You can just write me a pastor buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee. Now, again, that's pastor buddy, Post Office Box 2284, New Tazewell, Tennessee, the zip 37824. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sponsored tonight by Brother Mark and Sister Audrey in the great state of Mississippi, and they have an altar right there in Mississippi at their assembly. Altars all around the country are being built. We've had many inquiries here since we begun the series on the know-how to build an altar. We're going to do a series on this. We'll continue it Monday night, and I'll get into the actual building of it, the things that you would need to gather up. They're simple things, and yet in simplicity, there is a power that is hidden from the world. There's electromagnetism that can develop if you're in the proper sequence of standing on your altar. You just don't realize it. Most people that stand on the altar don't really know how powerful it is and how it's respected in the heavens, because he that sits in the heavens expects a walk of faith. If you want to shimmy and shake, get over with the people that Aaron had deceived. If you want to get shimmy and shaken and swing it on the rafters, go over to the Belt Box Church. They still got it going on. But if you want truth, if you want to stand up and be counted like a man, go to Yahweh's altar. And like a woman, that faithful Ruth. Well, ladies and gentlemen, my time is coming on tonight here on WWRB 3.185 Clear Channel on the transmitting Jewel of the South. We're simulcasting out on internet and around the world on 3.185. We're glad to have you in here. I'll see you Monday night about 9 o'clock. Yahweh bless you with part 3 of The Circle of Wholeness. Yahweh bless you, and I love you. Magnify us.